It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I believe the most fearful thing that a man or a woman has to face is death. It comes many times unexpectedly. And no matter how long a life one lives, death arrives never invited. Death is final. It closes the door that cannot be reopened. Death is final. No one really likes it that way, but that's the way it is. As some are spending fortunes on trying to preserve the body because they believe that one day man will conquer death. Many thousands of religions on earth exist because man fears death and desire strongly that death won't be the final end of man. However, it's a fact, an absolute reality and truth, that death has been completely conquered and that there is a means by which people need not fear death. 2,000 years ago, death's hold on man was broken. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, we see a man by the name of Zacharias. He was the father of John the Baptist. And just before the birth of Christ, he proclaimed the work of Christ in coming into the world. He prophesied and told about what John the Baptist was going to say about Christ. He said that Christ was coming. First, we read there in Luke chapter 1, we start in verse 77, and it says that he was to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. He was telling people about Jesus Christ. Verse 78 goes on to say, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that all that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Of course, this is Luke chapter 1, verses 77 through 79. It's quite fitting and proper to meet on Sundays, on the first day of the week, as we know our Lord rose on the first day. It's quite fitting to meet on a Sunday to remember and to learn of the day that victory was won over death. And I'm speaking, of course, as we meet in a church to worship and once again to get the feeding of God's Word so that we can go forth and proclaim the gospel to other people. And this, of course, means that we do this as a saved person. We're saved. Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 says this, but now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These verses, of course, are speaking to us who are saved. We're set free from sin, but so can other people. Other people can be set free. It says in verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is what we're supposed to be telling people, other people who have never trusted Christ as Savior. The cross is a place that death met its end. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, what was accomplished when Christ paid the sin debt of the world for those who believe and received him. In those verses, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Christ died that we could have eternal life. The victory was won when Christ submitted himself to let death do to him all it could. He endured it for our sakes, and then he rose victorious over sin and death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Romans chapter 6 verses 9 through 11 tells us that death was conquered by Christ's resurrection. It says there, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's speaking to a saved person here. Well, those who believe and trust in Christ are assured that death has no hold on them. For those who believe in Jesus, in Christ, there is no death, because it has been conquered. Now, the death of the physical body, of course, takes place, and that takes place for the believer as well, but it becomes just a bump in the road when it happens. And at that very moment, we are ushered into the very presence of our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Well, no one who is related to Christ Jesus can die. He is the Lord of life. Early Christians in Rome were buried in the catacombs beneath the city. Some died in the Roman stadiums and were fed to lions and wild beasts for the entertainment of the pagan Roman citizens. Yet, the real heart of what it means to be a Christian is found in two simple words inscribed on the tomb of a certain fallen child of God. The inscription says, "Titanius lives." In other words, that person who had given his life for the Lord lives. For the Christian, there is no death as such. This body can die, but the real person will not die. We go on living with the Lord, and that's when real life really begins for the Christian. And this is when we are ushered into the presence of our Lord. The compelling message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is this: there is victory over death for the believer, the one who trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior. We can say with Paul the Apostle with all assurance, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Well, then we see that we should all flee to him who conquered death for our salvation. And we who have been saved should strive to live our short lives on this earth for Christ, that we might share this wonderful truth. Well, what does the resurrection of Christ mean to you? As believers, God tells us that because of Christ's resurrection and victory over death, our physical death is simply a door that opens into the very presence of the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And then we read in John chapter 3 and verse 36, and explains that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, everyone on earth will die and then face one of two eternities. Note that John says the person who believes has everlasting life. He also says that the one who does not believe shall not see life, and the wrath of God abides on him. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 explains that for the lost there is a second death. First, there is physical death. But afterward, there is a second death in which the unbeliever is cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Now, the good news is that Jesus suffered and died and resurrected from death. He proved that he was God, because only God has power over death. Note the promise of God in these verses. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 4 and verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 6 and verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, these verses that I just read to you were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus cannot lie. Jesus has told us that if we would believe in him and receive him as Savior, he gives unto us eternal life, and not only to me, but unto, if you will believe on him, if you will trust him as your Savior, he will give you eternal life. Note the warning that God gives to everyone. John 3:36 says that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, For the wages of sin is death. And notice this, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone who hears this has to make a choice, and you are making a choice right now. You've heard God's truth in which He loves you. He lovingly tells us and tells you your need. We are sinners. And because we are sinners, we are under the condemnation of sin. You are under the condemnation of sin if you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior. Hell is the eternal destiny of all those who reject Christ and die in their sins. You've either believed on Jesus and received eternal life, or you have not believed. You have either believed and received full forgiveness of all your sins, or you have not believed and are headed for the second death. God's desire is clear. God sent his only begotten Son to earth to suffer and die so that you and I might have eternal life. John chapter 17 and verse 3 says, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John chapter 20 and verse 31, But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Well, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You need to make a decision right now for Jesus. You need to ask him to come into your heart because the Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Ask him to save you today. Call on him and let him save you so you can go to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.